Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It is such an honor for me to be here today at Grace Fellowship. And I blow into town once a year, I guess. And I am just so honored to be here today to see what God is doing in the lives of everyone that's here. See the physical changes that have taken place. Man, I'm telling you, this is looking like Manhattan. I'm telling you. And the renovation that's going on and the expansion. And you know what? It's not about simply brick and mortar, but God is changing the brick and the mortar. Listen, church, I believe prophetically revival is in the air. And God is preparing this building, this house. He's preparing you and me. Oh, hallelujah, that's it. Heaven came down. I'm going to stop speaking. Wow, I told you revival is in the air. But I believe that God is setting the stage for generations to come and to generations to follow. You believe that today? Amen. Why don't we give the Lord a hand? He's worthy. I want to thank Pastor Phil. He is a dear friend of mine. And Nikki and the others, Alexa and the family, just receive us, you know, so kindly. And always when I get into the room, there's a basket. I don't know if they're telling me I'm a basket case, but there's a basket of wonderful things that we have to lay hands on and rebuke the calories before we consume them. And just the graciousness. That's a great name of this church. Grace. Just say it. Grace Fellowship. We need a lot of grace in the world that we live in. And we're able to demonstrate that, communicate that. I love the bulletin. You get a little bit of New York in the bulletin, and I thank you for your kindness. I have traveling with me. We were at the Elam Fellowship Youth Summit yesterday and Friday night, and so we were attending that and representing our ministry, and there's probably about 30 or 40 different youth pastors and youth leaders are very interested. Some many didn't even know about our ministry. And so they're very interested in bringing their youth to the city and seeing God begin to activate young people for the glory of God. And so we came up last night, got in here around 9 o'clock or so, and Pastor Phil picked us up. And the first thing we did, you know, we were talking, well, what should we see it tomorrow? I said, we're seeing it now, man. I want to see this thing now. And so he took us around and we talked, and it's just wonderful to see what God is doing. I mean, the bathrooms are so awesome. I don't know how people stay in the sanctuary. I'd sort of hang out in that bathroom a little while, you know? I mean, I can't bring my wife here because guess what? If I do and she sees the bathroom, guess what, guys? I'm going to have a good honey-do list. How come our bathroom? Anyway, moving right along. I didn't want to give any of the women ideas anyway. But anyway, that I'm telling you, this is wonderful. And you know what? It speaks of a great testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? With me traveling is Daniel Ebenezer. He is from Chennai, India. So he came the furthest to this service. And he has been with us. He's a faithful brother. Been with us for about 5 years. And he came down from Elam. Brother Jeff Clark was the president. He said, Peter, you need to get this a hold of this young man. And we're very grateful for that. And I shared that with Pastor Jeff. But he's with us. And we have launched last year what we call CRI, or CRI. So that way you'll remember what that means. City Reach Institute. It's a 9-month urban training program. It's not a Bible school. It's not a seminary. It is a place where young people, 18 to 26, come to the city and they are trained and equipped and they are developed in their personal character and walk with God in order to reach the city. And we've launched it this past September. And if you are 18, anybody that's 18 to 26, could I see your hand? 18 Just don't be bashful now. 18 to 26, real high, not half mass, full mass. Come on, get them up. 18. If you see anybody 18 to 26, just sack them right there. Okay, keep your hands up. Daniel wants to give you something. 18 to 26. Okay, quickly, Daniel, quickly. You know the Bible says God is judge of both the quick and the dead. In New York City, you're either quick or you're dead. So, or if you know of people that are 18 to 20, maybe, listen, Bible school is wonderful. I'm a graduate of Elam, and Pastor Phil is, and so on. But maybe that's not your calling. Maybe you just need maybe 9 months and just to be sent out and launched out into the urban mission field, because the urban mission field is much different than maybe a typical Bible college. Right now, if we could have the lights, we have a brief clip that we want to show you. Then Daniel's got to come up, and he's just going to share for about 2 or 3 minutes, and then we'll look into the Word today. Thank you so much for allowing us to be here. God bless you.
I remember just walking down 2 blocks from where I live, and you'd find people under the influence of alcohol, under the influence of drugs. You see a lot of poverty, a lot of children coming from homes that are broken.
The New York School of Urban Ministry was founded in 1984 for the purpose of training people all across America, Canada, Europe, and hands-on urban ministry. And since 1984, we have trained over 40,000 people in hands-on ministry. City Reach Institute is a 9-month urban training program for young leaders 18 to 26 with hands-on practical training and also hands-on ministry at the grassroots.
I've learned so much about myself. I've learned so much about just how much God loves me.
I've been called to answer for what I believe for the first time in my life.
When I came here, yes, there was hands-on training, but there was also more of classwork, which is great because it prepped us for the hands-on.
Because I've been able to just learn and grow in my own personal faith, that's been able to translate with the way that I'm able to minister to other people.
And CRI is preparing me for my future career in public service.
It really has a huge impact on the students' life, and they're able to go out and actually take what they've learned here to their various towns.
In a recent survey we did, we found that 67% of those that came to NYSEM, when they go back to their city, they plan to engage in community outreach ministries with their local church or with their school or with something very specific. And so if that's happening when somebody comes here for just a weekend or a week, imagine what might happen in your life if you came for 9 months.
City Reach is a place where you can come to grow in the Lord, to grow in personal relationship with one another, to be stretched, to be discipled, to be trained, and to be sent out actually doing hands-on urban ministry in New York City, one of the most awesome and diverse cities in the entire world.
We love to see great leaders come and stand for God. We welcome you to this program.
I challenge you to come to City Reach and see and experience God working to develop you and His call and His character and His destiny for your life.
All right. Thank you. Is that a wonderful video, guys? All right. Good morning. Good morning all the way from Chennai, India, and from New York City. I take this time just to thank Pastor. It's a real honor for your family, for the staff, and for the church for giving us this opportunity. It's been such a blessing. I always try to compare places. So Titusville and New York, this is how you know it's New York. You go, you see the skyscraper, then you smell. You smell hot dogs. You're like, okay, it's New York. You smell pizza. Here I started smelling oil. all right. And then you start texting. Your text freezes because it's so cold over here. Anyway, it's amazing to be here. Pastor asked me, how did you sleep? And I was thinking for a second. I was like, when I came, I was surprised. I was like, am I going to sleep? Because I don't hear FDNY, NYPD, no siren. But I slept like a baby. It's amazing. Peaceful. Thank you. There's a couple things I want to talk about CRI. It's been an amazing program. We've been starting this. Last year we pioneered. It's for the group from 18 to 26. It's a 9-month program. We have students from all over the country, from Florida, from even from Jamestown, all different places, and they've been working with all different kind of ministry. As Pastor was saying, food truck. There's one other thing with NYSEM. You don't know what you're calling? Come over there. We'll get you right there, and we know what you're calling over there. We have food truck. One other thing we did has a great impact with the students. We took them to Mexico. It's an orphanage for 20 to 25 kids. None of them have parents, or some might have single parents they've never seen. It's been amazing for our students to see there. And one of the quick testimony I want to share, one of the girls, she said after the ministry, I know why God called me here. Now I want to minister with the kids in the place where she's from. So this program has been amazing. And God has been so gracious, and he's done amazing work through this program. And now we've been able to get up to 6 credits with Anaya College, which is in Manhattan. So God has opened doors for us to go forward, and we've been working more. We're going to try to get students all over the country. So, and we're thinking about raising our boundaries to go outside the country, go international. So keep us in prayer for this ministry. And anybody, this is one thing I learned and I heard, and God has been blessed. It's amazing to be here just to see everybody. I feel like I know everybody. You guys are so awesome. Everybody comes, talks to me. You don't see that in New York. Do you guys know that about New York? Okay, so it's amazing. Everybody talks to me. Everybody waves at me. And if you have a calling, you want to go to the city, this is one of the things you guys can. A lot of people say, city is too big for me. And I heard this quote. It always stuck with me. Even a small key can open a big door. When you guys are out there in the city, you might think, I'm really nothing. But you got God with you guys, and you guys can make a difference. And we need you guys, so always be prepared, and God will show your calling. So anybody 18 to 26, I'm all the way at the back. If you guys need more information about NYSEM or City Reach, stop there. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Amen. When I saw Pastor Phil come up, I didn't know if he was going to take me out or what. The spirit of New York is coming upon him. Amen. Even if you're not 18, there are some people that are a little more seasoned than 18 to 26. And certainly, if you would like to be part of NYSEM on a short-term missions trip. We have 2 streams that are happening. People come 24/7 from January to December. Come for a week, a weekend, all different people from 15 years of age and all the way up. While that's happening, we have another select group of young people, young adults that are 18 to 26, and they're in this institute. So I just wanted to bring clarity to that. Okay, we didn't come to give an infomercial. We have a word for you. And if you would, turn with me to page 809 in my Bible. And then that way we'll be able to see what God is saying. Good to see the Larkins here today. These are our fathers and mothers of the faith. I feel honored to be in their presence. They are heroes. Amen? Can I get an amen? Heroes of the work of the Lord. Amen. Bless them. If you turn with me to Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. And we're going to look at it quickly. And it says here in chapter 2 and in verse 1. When you have the verses, say amen, so I know that we're on the same page. Just say amen. That's three people. Okay. We got to pray for your neighbor. Habakkuk chapter 2. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved or corrected. And the Lord answered me, verse 2, and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables that he may run that reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak, it shall not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come to pass, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright into him, but the just shall live by faith. Let's pray. Father, bless your word today. Come on, church, let's thank him one more time. God, we thank you for this day. This is the day. This is the season. This is not simply something that is just a little renovation or whatever. Lord, this is a movement. It's a movement of your spirit upon this planet, upon this people, upon this town. And so, God, we pray your blessing on the word today. We ask in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You know, I'm from Massachusetts. Now you know my problem. And I'm a little A-A-A-D-D or H-D-L-D or whatever. So I'm really a package. I always say to my wife, you know, honey, being married to me, it's the best thing that ever happened to you. She's like, excuse me, give me a break. Well, why do you say that? Well, being married to me, you have full, it's called job security, being married to me. You know, this is a lifetime situation. And in Massachusetts, my father decided one time he was going to take us. We were from south of Boston, not far from Fall River. It's where I'm Portuguese, and there's a lot of Portuguese people actually in that part of New England. That's the largest population of Portuguese in the U.S. The second is in Newark, New Jersey. And so he said, well, I just want to take you all the way down to Provincetown, which is the very tip. And if you go any further, you're in the Atlantic Ocean. We say in New York, if you go to Montauk, it says the end, which is way out in Long Island. You'll be out in the ocean. And so he took us there and packed everything up, and we're going down, and we're all excited. We had two cars, and my mother's in one with her girlfriend and my other siblings, and I'm in the other with my father, and he's got a friend next to him. And we're only 20 minutes from our house. And I'm saying, you know, I'm bouncing around, you know, ADD, you know, bouncing around, moving around, you know. Are we there yet, Dad? No, Peter, we're not there yet, okay. Another 10 minutes goes by. Are we there yet? I must have said that. I mean, the man, God bless him, he kept the grace of God working in his life. And it's like 4 hours from my house, you know, growing up. 20 minutes. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? The title of my message is this: Are We There Yet? Look to your neighbor, say, are we there yet? The Bible tells us, Paul says, we go from glory to glory. We're in process. Say it to your neighbor, we're in process. Now wake up your other neighbor, say, we're in process. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That gives strength and grace to your husband or your wife. And there are four stages I want to leave with you today. I don't see a clock around here. God is moving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, they've done great renovation. Used to be a clock. Now there's no clock. Oh, hallelujah. A lot of grace here. No, actually, Eve told me the service gets out at 11:30. So I have 60 seconds to fulfill this assignment. Now that is going to be supernatural. Don't worry. Listen, it's going to be okay. I'll get you out of here, no problem. But just call Mama Leone and tell her that the pasta fagioli you'll have to put on hold for a minute, okay? Four stages. Now, it's very interesting that if you look at these verses of Scripture, in fact, the word Habakkuk, or some people would say Habakkuk, I don't know what cooking he did or whatever, but the word means embrace. And my prayer to you today is that we would embrace the word of the Lord today. Are you with me today? Embracing what God wants to do, because he is going to move by his Spirit. And I don't know about you, he's going to move. I want to be on the bus with the Lord. I don't want the bus to pass me by. And so the Bible tells us over here, he begins to complain in chapter 1, and he says that there are these Chaldeans, and God has raised them up. It says in verse 6, these people are nasty. Maybe they're from a city or something. They are vicious. They're bitter. These bitter nation. It says in verse 7, they're terrible. They're dreadful. Verse 8, it says in chapter 1, their horses are swifter than lepers and more fierce than evening wolves. And so we go to chapter 2, and now he goes before God, and he says, God, you have to do something about this. This is not a good situation. Houston, we have a problem. So chapter 2, he begins. And now Habakkuk begins to say, okay, God, these things are happening over here. And now I need to find out what you're saying. And so the title again of my message is this: what are we there yet? Say it. Are we there yet? And so what does the prophet do? You know, if you're going on a trip, maybe it's, as our brother Larkin just came back from Croatia, and Pastor Phil's been in Tanzania and different parts of the world. There's certain things that you need to do. Number one, prepare for it. I must tell you today, as I was standing here, I felt the word of the Lord come upon me. There is revival, church, there is revival in the air in this church. And what God is doing physically, he wants to do spiritually in your life, in your family. He wants to break traditions down. He wants to break barriers down. He wants to break mindsets down. This is not in the notes today. I'm speaking prophetically by the word of the Lord, Pastor Phil. I believe God's got to use this church in this whole region, and this will be an epicenter for the purposes of the kingdom of God. People will come from different towns, different villages, different hamlets. They'll come to this place. I believe that this is going to be not only your typical, you know, Sarah church, but this will be a church that will not only serve the community, but serve the region. God is preparing a people, and he's looking for people that he can begin to endue his power and his anointing and trust his anointing with people that are not just going to sit upon it or sell it or begin to have it as a commodity, but begin to exercise that gift and that anointing to empower people to bring healing and wholeness and discipleship and character development so that we will be equipped to reach the four corners of this planet. Can I get an amen? And so what does the prophet do? How does he prepare? And I want to ask you today, are you preparing? Are you, listen, when you go to Myrtle Beach, when you go to California, when you go to, Southern Florida, what do? You say to your wife, make sure, honey, you pack sunblock number 65. Make sure you bring your bathing suit. Make sure you, whatever. In other words, you prepare for it. And what did the prophet do? The Bible says, chapter 2, verse 1. This is how he prepares. He says, I will stand upon my watch. I want to ask you today, the Bible tells us, he says, I will stand. Say it with me, I will stand. He wasn't sitting on his watch. I know Pastor Phil is not sitting on his blessed assurance. Thank God for that. But you can sit in your assignments. God doesn't want us to sit in the assignment. Your assignment is a husband, a wife, a truck driver, a teacher, a doctor, a lawyer. In other words, he's not calling us to sit, but Jesus said, occupy until I come. Is that what he said? And the Bible says, he says, I will stand upon my watch. Church, what we need is men and women that are willing to stand in the gap to build up the hedge. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, having done all, Paul says, having done all, not to sit. Oh, I got to just dance for Jesus. Oh, that's good. You dance all you want. Do the jailhouse rock. I'm here to let you know today, he has called us to stand. And while we're standing, it's like we're standing at attention. Yes, sir, I am waiting for the marching orders that you have placed before me. I am your soldier, Lord. I am standing at attention, waiting for the commander-in-chief to begin to deploy and dispatch me for the glory of Almighty God. What an honor, what a blessing. Can I get an amen in this house? I want to ask you today, are you preparing, having done all, to stand? Standing upon my watch. If you go over to the book of Nehemiah, if you look here quickly, and it says here in this chapter, chapter 6, it says, Sanballat and Tobiah, the rest of the enemies, chapter 6, verse 1, heard that we had builded the wall, and there was no breach anymore. Verse 2, Sanballat and Geshem, come let us meet together. That's what they said. Come let us meet together. They're sending this notice to Nehemiah that we should just go into one of the villages in the plain of Ono. I mean, when somebody says to you, can we hang out at Starbucks at the town of Ono? Church, already you know there's a problem. This is in the town of Ono? Yeah, hello, there's a problem. It's a setup. But they thought to do me mischief, verse 2. They sent messengers unto me, process servers, an expediter, somebody. And it says, and this is what, and he says, and I sent messengers. This is Nehemiah's response now. And he says, he sent messages unto these people in Ono and says, I'm doing a great work, so I cannot come down. Why should the work of God cease? Church, I have news for you today. Maybe you've been a little, maybe a spectator, and now you become a participator, and you say, God, I'm all in. I'm in this church. I want to be involved and so on. And you're on the wall, and you're seeing God begin to build character. He's building integrity. He's building faith. He's building joy. He's building peace. He's building long-suffering in you. And guess what? The enemy comes in like a flood to mess you up. Because guess what? He wants us to get off the wall. But what does Nehemiah say? He says, listen, Bubba, I ain't getting off this wall. God is doing a great work in my life. I am not backing down. Three amens. Hallelujah. Number one, prepare for it. How do we prepare for what God wants to do? You stay in your assignment. You stay on that wall. You stay until every brick has been laid. Every bit of mortar has been put in. I am not going to be diverted. I am not going to be deterred. What did Paul the Apostle say? Well, you know, Paul, when you go to Jerusalem, you're going to be beaten. You're going to be thrown in jail. And the Bible says in the book of Acts, he says, but none of these things move me, neither count my life dear unto myself. I'm going, and I'm going to see God come through. Can I get a witness here today? Number one, prepare for it. How do you prepare? You stand on my watch. Listen, mom and dad, do not let down your guard. Your son, your daughter, maybe things are not well in the house. Do not get off that wall. But you stand and you're going to see the salvation of our God come through. It may be tomorrow, it may be next year, it may be 3 years, but I have news for you today. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed out begging for bread. Number two, he says in verse 2, the Lord said, not only prepare for it, he says, I want you to write the vision. So number one, as you and I prepare for it, God says, now I can trust you, and now why don't you begin to write it? You see, this whole thing about renovation, I've been encouraging Pastor Phil and the elders, and this has been a long-term project. This is long-term. Say long-term. I remember when I was preaching back there. We're all confused now. We're all preaching over here now, ministering over here. And how everything was all about. But you write the vision down. He says over there, he says in Proverbs 20:19, without a vision, the people perish, not only in the church, in families, in marriages. You know what? God wants to write his vision, his heart, his purposes upon your life. Maybe your vision is, and it's a good desire, to have a house. You don't have to rent anymore. Maybe retire. You don't have to retire in sunny Florida, heaven's waiting room. Excuse me. But you could retire right here and be a great influence for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever. Maybe go to college. Maybe better yourself. Maybe take more courses. Maybe go to ELA. Maybe go to CRI. Maybe go to the mission field with one of these wonderful men and women of God. Write it down. Begin to see what God says, because even the devil came to Jesus. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 4 and verse 4, he says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I'm telling you today, you will find true fulfillment as a man and a woman when you allow God to begin to write his vision, his purposes upon the tablets of your life, and see God begin to do great and mighty things. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? And then he says in verse 3, he says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. Oh, I was doing so good, Lord, but you killed me. Well, that's the plan. He says, but in the end it shall speak, it shall not lie. Though it tarry. What does that word tarry mean? It means it didn't happen instantaneously, like a flick of a button. We have, our world today is so enamored by Facebook. If we would only get our faces in the book a little more. They just did a research recently that people that spend X amount of hours on Facebook, they become more depressed, they become more distracted, they have little purpose in their life. I mean, just do the study for yourself. God has called us, and thirdly, he says, I'm like that little boy back years ago. Dad, are we there yet? Are we there yet? You know, instantaneously, we all want instant answers. And God said to us in his word, he says, wait for it. Do you know every vision, every promise of God has a wait built in to that word? I was in Nairobi, Kenya, 39 years ago. I went, didn't know anything about Elam, from Massachusetts. A missionary came from California to our church. He would travel to Mexico, different places, and overseas, and I felt God linked us together. So in 1977, I'm from Massachusetts, and I had enrolled at Eastern Nazarene College in South Boston, in a city called Quincy, Mass. And they accepted me, amazingly. But I went on a missions trip that summer, 8 weeks. We went to Switzerland to the Holy Spirit Conference where David Duplessis was. He was alive at that time. They called him Mr. Pentecost. God was using him to bring about spiritual renewal to the Catholic Church. And even though the Pentecostals had kicked them out, God was still working. Anyway, that's another story. And then we went to Africa. We were there for about 7 weeks. We were in Nairobi, and then the missionary said, we have to go to Kisumu, and that's about 250 miles away from Nairobi, have a pastor's conference. The church that we were at is about half this size, and probably the platform was right where these brothers are in the front. And there was about 500 people in the church. Half were on the inside. The other half were on the outside. They have air-conditioned amenities over there. God's air condition, just a cutout in the wall, and mud and so on, and God began to move. On the second night, I went to our room about midnight. That's when the meetings would end. We're 5 miles from the Ugandan border. People were coming over, risking their lives. But it was when Idi Amin was the dictator and people were being slaughtered. And these people were risking their lives to hear the word of God. So I went to bed, and in that mud hut at 2 o'clock in the morning, I woke up and God began to work in my heart. He says, the Lord said to me, you have signed up at Eastern Nazarene College to go and into business administration, but I have Holy Ghost business for you. Are you willing to serve me? And in that mud hut, I just knelt down. I said, Lord, ants and all. I said, Lord, here's my life. Take it. I returned, went 1 year to that college, and then I heard about a Bible college in East Providence, Rhode Island, Zion. I went there for 2 years, and then I heard about Elam, and then I went up to Elam. Then after that, I married my wife, went involved in different church ministry, and for the past 30 years, I've landed and been in the concrete jungle of New York City. After I knelt at that mud hut, we came back that at the end of the week to the compound in Nairobi. And that compound was massive. It was about half the size of EBI campus. It was run by the Pentecostals of Canada, but they only had like 20 students. And I said, God, would you not bring me back to Nairobi to pioneer again, redig the wells again, and begin to train leaders and workers? That's what I felt God wanted me to do. But I was landed in New York City for the past 30 years. Until about a year ago, we began to converse with our friends at PEFA by the name of Bishop Moffat, Kilioba, and others. And so last May, myself and my daughter and Kristen Stern and Randy Catalano went to Nairobi, had wonderful meetings and so on. But while we were there, the pastors, after meeting and praying and seeking God together, they said, we need a NISM in Nairobi. You see, 39 years ago, God put a word, a seed in my heart that we would have some sort of school over there. But if you wait upon the Lord, are you with me today? Though it tarry, it shall not lie. We had prophetic words over my daughter Christina. And what God wanted to do in her life. And we knew there was a call of God on our life. And I brought her through Elam about 3 years ago. And we were there on the campus on a Sunday afternoon after I administered in Rochester. And we're going by and walking around, and she's messing with the leaves and so on. And I just casually mentioned, maybe God is going to lead you here. I am never coming to be a student at Elam Bible Institute. Dad, are you kidding me? I just report to you today that she got a hold of us this past September. And she says, Mom and Dad, God is speaking to my heart. I need to go to Elam. And now she's enrolled as a midterm student in January of 2017. Devil, take that, put it in your pipe and smoke it. I'm here to tell you today, if you wait upon the Lord, God is going to come through. We want things instantaneous. I just received an email before I came on this trip, Bishop Moffitt, because after that, they sent three pastors to NYSEM, trained them for over 3 months in our fall internship while the EBI students were there. They flew back. They met with the executive leadership. I just got an email from Bishop Moffitt. He said, it is unanimously decided. We want and we need a NYSEM in Nairobi, Kenya. Are we there yet? No. But we are moving forward from glory to glory. We prepare for it. We begin to write it by faith. If you wait for the for sale sign, it'll never be there. We got a building at NYSEM, and I felt the Lord speak to me, and I laid my hand upon it. There was no for sale sign, no Remax, no Century 21, but 4 months later, the for sale sign went up, and they said, we want to sell, and we bought it. We've got to begin to move by the prophetic word of the Lord, not what we see in the natural, but what we see by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. For those men and women in arm's way that are over in Iraq and Afghanistan, what do they see? They don't see just in the natural. They have to put on special goggles called night vision so they're able to see what nobody else is seeing. And we, as men and women in the church, he's not called us to CNN. He's called us to Jesus-N. And if you listen to Jesus, God will begin to give you visions and dreams and understandings. But we have to wait upon the Lord. We have to close quickly. Preachers close three times. I've only closed once. But I know the time is running by quickly. Listen to this thought, and we'll close in a moment. It is said that the Chinese bamboo, that tree, takes 4 years to develop its root system. But on the fifth year, it grows to be 80 feet tall. An elephant has a 2-year pregnancy. God bless that mother. But it's so big, it's carrying something unusual. It's big, but it takes time. We could decide, do we want to be like that elephant that's willing to wait 2 years to give birth to something that's awesome, that's unusual, that's unprecedented? Or we could be like a puppy or puppy dogs, where they get together, Mr. and Mrs. Dog, and in every 16 weeks they have little puppies, but they're all very, very small. I'm going to wait for that 2-year pregnancy. How about you? I'm willing to wait 4 years and go deeper in the purposes and the presence of God, because on the fifth year, it ain't going to be some little shrub. It's not going to be a little daffodil. We are going 80 feet tall in the name of Jesus. Are you with me today? And God is preparing this house for 80 feet tall in his purposes. We can have the worship team come, and we're going to close. What does the Bible say? The Bible says in Psalm 40 and verse 1, I waited patiently, David said, for the Lord, and he inclined unto my cry. Isaiah 40 and verse 31, but they that what wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And the fourth principle I leave with you today is we need to live by it. Because while we're waiting and saying, God, there are things that are happening, let me tell you, God will even use enemies, people in your face. He'll use the good, the bad, the ugly. He will use even attacks from the enemy to bring about his purposes in your life. I'm sure that the prophet Habakkuk, he began to pray a little different because the Chaldeans were on his case. And what does the Bible say? The Bible says, he says, even though the vision is yet for an appointed time, it shall not lie. Though it tarry, wait, for the just shall live by faith. I'd like to sing that song, Pastor Phil, if we could, that oh, oh song. What is that? Ancient of Days or something. I think that's That's all I know is the O-O song. Would you stand with me quickly as we pray? Maybe saying, well, Brother Peter, I'm maybe you're a single person. Where's Mr. Wright or Mrs. Wright? Well, if it's not gonna happen and my biological clock is turning, I'm going to eHarmony. Problem is, Brother Peter, I even tried eHarmony, they turned me down. Went to eMatch, I even went to Farmers Dating, they turned me down. Why don't we go to Jesus Harmony? You see, because we have a choice. Are we going to produce an Ishmael or wait for an Isaac? And maybe you have produced an Ishmael. And I love the Bible because God came to Abraham after the Ishmael and said, this little thing you and Hagar and Sarah concocted and so on, that's your thing. I still have the promised seed. I haven't changed. His word is yea and nay. Maybe you've messed up. Maybe you've made some mistakes. Maybe you've produced some Ishmaels. How many of us? I've produced a few Ishmaels, but God still comes to me and loves me and cares for me, corrects me, works in me. It's not over, church. If I told you this story, we were supposed to get money because our food truck had died, went to truck heaven. So these people came and said from a food distribution company called City Harvest, you could get up to $18,000 and we'll give it to you. And so I said, my wife says, come down and hear it. And so I went down and got any information. What do? You could buy your food truck, praise God. So I got all that stuff and all the information, put it all together. We need your constitution. I gave them that plus the Constitution of the United States. You know, Ben Franklin, John Adams, the whole bit, signed and sealed, sent it all in. 30 days later, you got it here. Come back 30 days later, got all the staff around, rejoicing. Opened it up, Reverend, we got all your information. Thank you so very, very much. But we gave the money to somebody else. $18,000, they gave it to somebody else. Lord, are you killing me or what? The Lord says, hold to that vision. I was up at Elam at the pastor's conference and a man comes to me and he starts telling me this wonderful story about his food truck. I was like, God, I don't want to hear about his food truck. Brother Peter, I didn't actually do that, but in my spirits, I was like, give me a break. The Lord says, give me a break. I'm trying to talk to you. I said, Lord, I don't see you in this thing. He said, why don't you hold steady, Bubba? I'm going to speak to you. So this young man, he's out in the countryside of Pennsylvania. He goes by this car dealership. The Holy Spirit says, turn around, go back inside and find out about that truck. So he finds out about the truck. It's $12,000. We don't have $12,000. Well, here's my car. No. Take my card anyway, the dealer said. So the next morning, the man calls him up and says, I talked to my manager. We'll sell it to you for $6,000. Oh, $6,000. Gloria a Dios. So he talks. He says, I'm going to pray about it. He talks to his wife, talks to God. Sometimes the same thing. But anyway, moving right along and moving by the Spirit. So they buy the truck, raise some money. They fix it up. They put all bread and water and everything. Go downtown Lancaster. Minister to the homeless. There's about 2,000 or 3,000 homeless in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. So how'd it go, Joe? He says, well, you know, it didn't go so good. I said, why? He says, there was onesies, twosies, people here and there. He said, but the issue was that I found out the Amish and the Mennonite are feeding these hurting people. In fact, when I saw what they were being fed, I said, I think I want to be homeless. Just don't tell my wife. Awesome food. So I'm thinking to myself, oh, this is a wonderful story. Where is this thing going? Joe says to me, when I got on this campus, I began to pray, God, what do you want to do in our ministry? It's not working out. He didn't know about our need. And he said, the Holy Spirit said to me, gift the food truck to Nysom. Are you with me, church? Gift the food truck to Nysom. So I'm going to ask that as we pray today right now, as Pastor Phil leads us, you may have a situation right now, and I'm going to ask you to come to this altar, bring your cell phone, and get a picture of your son, your daughter, that school, that house, that job, that vision, that dream that God has given to you. Might be the mission field. Maybe start a food bank, a food pantry. Say, well, Brother Peter, I don't have the degree. Listen, if you look in the Bible, God didn't call the smartest or the wisest. Not many noble, not many wise, but he called you. And so I'm going to ask right now, would you just bow with me in prayer? Father, I thank you for this church, and I thank you for this day. Lord, there is a vision that you are inscribing not only upon this house, because this is your house, but upon the people of God in this house. And there are families today, they need a breakthrough. There are families that need God in a special way. There are families that need God to work in their marriage and their children and their grandkids, Lord. And you've given us prophetic words and prophetic utterances. You've given us dreams and visions, and it hasn't come to the full fruition of what you want to do. The enemy is on my back saying, why don't you get off that wall, like Nehemiah was being allured to go and get off that wall. But Nehemiah said, I am not leaving, because this is a good thing that God has started. Today, God, today, help us to prepare for a move of your Spirit, because I believe there is revival in the air, in the atmosphere here at Grace Fellowship. Father, today, help us to believe it, write it, declare it, live by it. Because this whole region, this whole area needs your touch. By the sound of my voice, I'm going to ask that right now you would step out of your seats and bring your cell phone, bring a picture, bring your son, your daughter. Let's just fill this altar right now. I know our time has passed, but just for 2 minutes, would you just come right out of your seat right now? Come on, right now, quickly. And let's believe the Lord today. Though the vision tarry, don't change the vision. We always say in New York, never negotiate the vision. The timetable comes and goes, but never negotiate what God said. How can you negotiate with a terrorist, which is the enemy? Just lift your hands. Come on, church, there's other people. Why don't you just come? Everybody, everybody, just come right now. If you can just get out of your seats. Oh, let's open the doors of our hearts. Hallelujah. Come on, just begin to sing that song. Hallelujah. Let's just come a little further, make way for everyone. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hand. Lift your hand today. Worship him. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let your hands be wide, you ancient door.
Come on, lift it up.
Oh, 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 oh. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, just worship him. Worship him. Hallelujah. Just take a moment right now. We're going to reach out to Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Whatever God has said, whatever God is saying, you thought it was over. God is activating that vision. He's taking that call, that vision, off the shelf. He's blowing away the cobwebs. He's blowing away the dust. You thought it was over. You thought retirement was in. the vocabulary of God. And so God says, retirement does not compute in my kingdom. It's not being refired, but retired, but being refocused, retooled, retrofitted for the purposes of God's kingdom in your life. Hallelujah. Sing it again. Let's worship Him.